Hey, everybody. Thanks for digging up and tuning in to this latest episode of The Emerald Archer. This is episode 4 of said show. We appreciate you keeping up with us or tracking us down to listen to us. We hope that we can do something good enough to keep you entertained and to get you to tell your friends about it, too. I'm one half of the co-hosts of the show.
And I'm arguably the better half.
Very arguably, yes. But he is, at the very least, one half of the co-hosting duties. So we can say that with some confidence. Anything else I don't know about. My name is Ed Moore.
And I'm Nick Moore. I'm his son.
This, as I said, is the Emerald Archer podcast. I do want to throw out here at the top of the show that this is a spoiler podcast. This episode, we've got kind of a change from what we've done the previous three episodes, which is all we have out there.
Yeah, just three.
So, we're not changing things up after years and years. As particularly you Green Arrow fans know, and some of you listening may not be a particular Green Arrow fan, but DC Comics has started something in which they're basically rebooting their whole universe. As part of that, Green Arrow has been rebooted and has his own book, as well as he's going to be showing up in some other books. He's a member of the JLA and some other things. But so what we've decided to do in the first three episodes, we reviewed three old books.
Very old.
Actually, old, starting with the first appearance of Ollie in Earth One. For you new fans, you won't understand necessarily what that means, and that's fine. For you old fans, well, we'll sit around and reminisce about how the fact that Earth 1 and Earth 2 are now gone. So it doesn't matter. We started at a particular point. Do what?
I said poof.
Poof. Yeah, it's
magically gone.
So we're going to start talking about the new Green Arrow in one of our biweekly episodes every month. So we're starting with this episode. We will talk about two old books, which will be World's Finest Comics issue 96 and 97, and I neglected to write it down, but that's the World's Finest that started back in the 50s.
Give me a second, I'll tell you.
Okay. And
1958
volume.
September and October of 1958, to be exact.
And that's when these books came out.
Yes,
these World's Finest has been running for
a while.
Since maybe back in the 40s, I forget.
Yes.
And then the other book, the third book, will be the 2011 volume of Green Arrow. This just came out this week, this past Wednesday. We're recording this on Saturday.
So, very new.
So that's a heads up, and I'll give a heads up again to you guys who are maybe don't want to listen to the new Green Arrow review because, like me, you haven't gotten your monthly orders yet since this guy just came out last week. You guys won't be getting your order until the beginning of October.
Very good to
mention. So I'll throw this out when we get ready. That way you can turn us off. I hope not. But, if you do, you don't want to hear this spoiled. I can understand. That's cool. Hopefully nobody's going to bitch at us about spoiling a book that came out in 1958. If that does offend you, I'm sorry.
Get over it.
I guess maybe this just isn't the show for you because that's what we do all the time. So okay. Starting out.
Did you want to mention the Aerodex?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so everybody, we all know that the Green Arrow uses a cornucopia of different kinds of arrows in his many adventures. And on our website, if you...
What's the address to that again?
comicbooknoise.com/Emerald Archer.
One word.
One word. Emerald Archer is one word. And if you look on the left, under pages, there's something called the Aerodex, which will give you a list in alphabetical order for your convenience of the arrows that Green Arrow has used and the comics that you can find it in.
Now, these are the arrows that were named because occasionally, too, he will just pull something out and fire it, and you can kind of tell what it does, what the result mm-hmm. is. But if he didn't name it, we're not going to include it in the Aerodex. But what we're going to do is, for all of these older issues like that, we're just going to keep a running list of the arrows in the Aerodex, and at the end of the show, we'll tell you what the new entries in the Aerodex will be.
Yes.
Not going to do it probably with the new book because he used three or four arrows in the new book and didn't name any of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can describe, of course, what the arrow does, but that's not as much fun as keeping a list of the hokey names that they're going to use. That's the fun part. Okay, Nick, did you want to talk about 96, or do you want to talk about 97?
I'll talk about 96.
96, okay.
Alrighty, so I was not prepared for it to
That's
do 96.
Right. Not a problem. I definitely want to thank you guys for hanging in there with us. No, it's been a little while since the last episode. Not going to sit here and make excuses, just the way that it turned out to be.
Yes.
As we originally stated, we hope to get these out bi-weekly. Most of the time we'll probably be able to do that. Every now and then we won't.
Hopefully we'll get into another rhythm again and we can keep it going.
Yeah, everything has settled back down now into a routine that we can kind of predict. So we should be able to keep up with things a little bit better than we have in the recent past. So the first book up is going to be World's Finest Comics, number 96. Came out in September of 1958. Has a variety of stories in it. The one we're going to look at is Five Clues to Danger. Nobody really seems to know who scripted that one. It was never logged, never written down. The pencils and the inks were by Jack King Kirby, with an assist on the inks for Jack by his wife Roz Kirby.
Okay, so in this issue we're going to talk about Guinero.
Yeah, don't make fun of his accent, folks, okay?
It's not no. Right. I have feelings, too.
Yeah. don't judge him.
nice. Okay, so it starts out with the splash page. Okay, the splash page. Green Arrow and Speedy are shooting at a car on a bridge that looks like it could be on the side of a mountain. I'm not sure. That's just what it looks like to me because of the rocks over to the side. Then it goes on to the story. Green Arrow and Speedy are flying in their aeroplane. I like that word.
Yes, and of course it is spelled A-R-R-O-W.
Yes, A-R-R-O-W, like the arrow.
Arrow, not as in fly.
Yes, air.
Yeah.
Arrow.
Like, what is that? A-E-R-O. Arrow, I think is
yeah,
how you
would
see that.
Yes. Okay, so they're flying in their aeroplane over some dangerous-looking waters with very large rocks and waves. I can't get my words together today. And waves, cool. White water splashing, dangerous, you know, your classic things that would cause a shipwreck in a movie that would get at the way
the
ships.
They would show that at the beginning of the movie so you see how bad it is.
Yes.
And then they would go out to the ship. And you would find out, oh, wow, he's really near shore.
Yeah, and he's like right
all
there.
All that stuff, yeah.
Okay, and Green Arrow is looking around, and he sees a shipwreck of the man they're looking for, and I don't see it mentioned right here. I probably should have written it down. Professor Anderson.
Yeah,
there we go. He's looking for Professor Anderson's ship, because hopefully Professor Anderson and... Anderson's ship.
Yes.
He's trying to see if Anderson is going to be there.
Which the ship has a name. They called it the Argosy.
Argosy.
I'm not sure if that has any bearing on the show or anything, or on the story. Those of
now.
You who like have bunches of free time and like to dig into stuff like that, mm-hmm. you may be able to dig up some reason as to why they use that particular name. We don't necessarily have any idea.
Okay, so Green Arrow and Speedy, they find a ship and they look in it, and you know, Green Arrow says we need to inform the Coast Guard that we found the ship, and they head home. They get into their regular people identities, Oliver Queen and Roy Harper. They go to looks like a lawyer's office
to answer a lawyer's summons.
Yes,
is what it says.
2 days, yeah. 2 days after they were looking for the ship.
Right, okay.
This Professor Anderson man has left an odd array, a harmonica, a watch, a packet of old letters, a copy of the almanac, and an elephant statue.
He's left them...
as, like, an inheritance or a will, in his will or something?
To Ollie, right?
Yes, to Ollie.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so Professor Anderson... who they were looking for, and they assume is dead,
mm-hmm.
at the very least, they
yes.
assume, left these things and they're going to the lawyer because he was named in the will.
Yes.
And he's okay. Okay.
Okay. Gotcha. They get the stuff and they go home and they get in their matching PJs in their hotel room.
Kind of disgusting.
Well, it's kind of implying something that I don't want to say.
No, they're not. Well, these are manly men. No, no.
I'm surprised they do. Do they have the butt flap with the buttons?
They're not 21st century ambiguously gay duo kind of.
Okay.
No, no.
Because they were matching. But remember, they were in two different beds, so I guess.
This is in the late 50s. Everything was very straight arrow and straight laced. So, yeah, no, no.
Okay.
Except Wonder Woman.
Was Wonder Woman gay?
No, she wasn't gay, but they had a lot of
innuendo?
BDSM and whips and chains and stuff like
sexual innuendos.
In her book, yes. That's because the original creator and longtime writer of Wonder Woman, he was gay. And he was at a time when you were not
known to be gay. You're not supposed to.
So he left a lot of that
hints.
Lifestyle.
Yes.
He incorporated it in sly ways into the writing of Wonder Woman, and that's why she has bracelets and she gets tied up a lot in bondage. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But this is not Wonder Woman.
No.
That's a different podcast.
These are manly men, apparently.
A different podcast that hasn't been come up with yet. Oh, no. I'm sorry. There is a Wonder Woman podcast out there.
Anyways. And I would like to critique the artwork again because I'm going to do it in the next issue, too, that I saw.
Okay.
Green Arrow is wearing yellow in this picture.
Well, that's not necessarily the artwork. That's the coloring.
Well, why would it be yellow, though? It's like yellow, like his aeroplane and Speedy's
hat.
His
PJs? Or?
No, when they're in the aeroplane flying over the water,
It's
yellow.
It was probably just miscolored or something like that. The coloring system for periodicals was very simple back then. Mm-hmm. Of course, the colors existed because always existed.
They're always there.
But the ability to print them on the page was such that it didn't always
come off that way. Okay.
Yes.
Because there's another one in number 97 that I'm going to point out again.
What I think, if I understand correctly, what it was back then the printing was done with four colors. That's all that the printing press had available. Mm-hmm. So to make other colors, they had to combine colors.
Mix them.
Sometimes it didn't mix good. Mm-hmm. Whereas nowadays, I think it's a 32 or a 64 color process.
Yeah. So you'd get a more accurate finished color if you had to mix them together.
Right, right. And you don't have to mix necessarily to get as many colors because you start out
with them. You start out with them originally.
So, yeah, the process for colors is better now. But, yeah, you can read these old 40s and 50s books and see funky colors everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Hulk from Marvel Comics. Oh, I've seen him blue before.
Really?
Yeah, because it didn't color right. Yeah. So it's all kinds of, but yeah, that's the printing press at the time.
All right, so finally they get out of bed, and Oliver says, his name. You see that?
Roy?
No, Oliver says, Oliver, did you hear something downstairs?
Oh, yeah,
they got the dialogue mixed up.
Yeah, they mixed it up. So either he should have said Speedy.
Yeah, Speedy.
Or this balloon should have been
for Roy.
And Roy should have been over here.
Yeah.
So yeah, good catch. Oliver says Oliver. It's like, do you always refer to yourself in the
third person?
Yeah.
Okay. So
Oliver hears something. Oliver's going to get up.
Monologue, right?
Yeah, that is.
It doesn't matter who hears it. They both hear something, and they go downstairs, and they realize there's burglars, and they run away as soon as they've been seen, and being seconds later, having reverted. Okay, so the Green Arrow and Speedy get into the Arrow car, and they're chasing after them, and they go over the bridge over a river. The bridge starts to – it's the bridge that lets both boats go underneath.
Drawbridge.
And one of them goes up, and the burglar's car is able to go over it, but Green Arrow and Speedy aren't. So they have to eject themselves out over the bridge while they're in the air. They – grab an arrow, and each one shoots an arrow into the back tires, causing the burglars to spin out. They get out of the car. The burglars get out of the car, and they get away. And when Oliver and Roy, I'm sorry, Green Arrow and Speedy right now.
Yes.
When Green Arrow and Speedy look in the car, they stole the items that Professor Anderson left them.
So they must, you said at a hotel or something. They must not have been at the hotel. They must have been at like Ollie's house.
Yeah.
Because plus two downstairs. So yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a downstairs in a hotel.
You would have, but they wouldn't necessarily hear anything going on downstairs because it's a hotel.
So it must be their house?
Yeah, they must have been at their house.
Okay. So they have matching beds and matching pajamas at their house. Very normal.
In the same room.
In the same room.
Yeah. So, anyway.
All right. They get their items back, the odd items that Professor Anderson left them. And they're taking it back to the, I don't want to call it the Arrow Cave. I'm just going to call it Oi's Batch. Oi, yes, yes. Oliver's bachelor pad. And he's starting to do this jumping to conclusions thing where he says, oh, well, maybe there are clues that Professor Anderson left us to figure out where he is. And Speedy, you know, being the butt kisser that he is, he goes, you're right, GA, I love you. So they're trying to figure out what the clues mean.
He didn't really say.
It's implied. That's how he says things.
No, I was talking to them.
I know. Okay. If you don't remember, it was a stack of old letters, an elephant, a harmonica, an old watch, and a copy of an almanac. Those are the five items. Now it cuts to the burglars. Now GA and Speedy are trying to figure out what the items mean. It cuts to the burglars. They're going into their lair, and my goodness, they have Professor Anderson sitting there in a chair.
Ah, so he didn't die.
He did not die. It was a setup. So the leader, I guess, the head villain, head honcho.
The boss man.
He's got his hair slicked back and he's smoking the cigar, you know, big old cliche
boss man. Late 50s, early 60s. Tough, almost mobster kind of dude.
Yes.
He's in a business suit with a tie, and he's, yeah.
And he wants Professor Anderson's formula for producing diamonds, and which could be worth an infinite amount of money, I guess, if you just keep making them.
Making diamonds.
Millions and millions of dollars.
Selling them, yeah.
Yes. So, I don't know how exactly. No, it is mentioned later, because Green Arrow and Speedy show up.
Yeah, they just show up.
They just show up randomly.
When they lost them, so they went home and the bad guys went to their hideout. But then, according to this, it was like still that same time frame.
Yes.
Speedy and Green Arrow show up, but the last we saw of them, they were at their house.
Yeah, they were at their house with the
looking at the stuff.
The things they got from the criminals.
Okay.
So they're looking in this window that's looking down into the room. It's kind of like a skylight.
Mm-hmm.
And they hear the head honcho, I want the formula now, give it to me. And they swing in and they twang the evil criminals with guns. And they knock the guns out of their hand, you know, they knock everybody down. They swoop in and save the day. They got the boomerang arrow, which it looks like it's just going to hit them. Or does it have maybe some rope on it? Or
well,
is that
it says,
just the,
yeah. Let's use our boomerang arrow, Speedy, to encircle
them.
So they're using them, I guess, because it's a boomerang. It goes around and around, and they're like tying the guys
with the
up.
Rope,
yeah.
Yes. So they've circled everybody except the head honcho. And the head honcho is like, all right, I've got the upper hand. I've got a bomb. Do what I say, I'm going to blow this place up.
He's got a mean-looking bomb, and it's hissing like the round ones that you always see in the cartoons,
yes,
that they like.
The really old ones that was just a black, but this one's square.
Yeah, he's got some funky, like, box-looking thing,
yeah.
But it's hissing, too, because the fuse is lit.
And they use the rain arrow, which can be found on the arrow decks, to put out the fuse on the bomb, and they call the police. The police come and take all the head honcho away and all his men, and they untie the professor, and Green Arrow is all happy now because the professor's alive, and Professor Anderson says, I'm glad you figured out my message. And Green Arrow says, I arranged the items in this order, and reading down the first letter of each word spelled out whale. It led us straight here to the Whale Island. So watch, harmonica, almanac, letters, elephant, W-H-A-L-E. And everybody goes home happy. The professor can use his Daimula recipe to benefit science.
Okay. Seems kind of a stretch to me, but...
Okay. I mean, how would he even know to put them in that order, maybe?
Well, let's see. Five times four is 20, mm-hmm. times three is 60, times two is 120. 120 There's 120 combinations. Wonder how long it took him to sit there and go through 120 combinations.
Yeah. Maybe he had like a generator or something that he could just put them in and come out with words.
Well, why would he even think to look at the first letter of the words and see if,
what they did. Maybe Professor Anderson meant the last letter. He rescued the wrong Professor Anderson just now.
Could be. All because something I've always wondered is this Mr. Anderson related to the Mr. Anderson we know from The Matrix?
Who's Mr. Anderson?
Keanu.
Oh, that's right. Neo.
Neo. That's his Matrix name is Mr. Anderson.
Yes. It could be his grandfather. Or his father, maybe. No, his grandfather because he's too old now.
Yeah, it'd probably have to be grandfather or even more so great-great or something. Because it would have to be more because that happens in our future. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so that was the summary of World's Finest 96. I think we're going to do the new DC comic Green Arrow, nothing.
Let's go ahead and do 97. That way somebody that's interested in the old ones
can save it for the end. Okay. All right, so I'm doing 97 too?
Sure, if you want to.
All right, so.
Oh, hang on. Let's see. This first came out in October 1958. World's Finest 97. The story we're looking at is Menace of the Mechanical Octopus. It's scripted by Mr. Ed Heron with pencils and inks by Jack King Kirby and an assist on the inks by Jack's wife, Roz Kirby.
Artistic couple. Don't know why that came into my mind. I felt right to say. Okay. So, splash page. Mechanical octopus is and this is a very large octopus with each tentacle maybe a couple hundred feet long. It has its tentacles wrapped around the ship, and GA and Speedy are hopping onto one of the tentacles and
trying to
figure out how to stop it, classic stuff.
Yeah, the head of the octopus is like where the controller is, and it's got big windows, and you can see into it and see that it's a mechanical octopus being... controlled by somebody inside.
Yes. Okay, so story starts. It just looks like a businessman and a security guard to protect this box of gold. I'm sorry, jewels. And they're going to be shipped tomorrow, probably to a bank maybe or to... No, I'm sorry, to the main office. We've insured to our main office, okay.
If those belong to somebody, do you think they're the family jewels?
Joke. That was good.
Oh, okay.
That was funny.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to own them. So it's
somebody's family jewels.
Hey.
Okay. So they've insured to their main office, I guess, for safekeeping. Maybe they don't like it there. Put it in a bigger safe. And the giant octopus tentacle, mechanical, of course, not squishy, shoots through the window, grabs the box, and pulls it out, Mechanical octopus thief, very common. They look out the window. Of course, Green Arrow and Speedy, they already know what's going on. They're right there in their aeroplane.
Hey, man, they're on patrol. They just happen to be at the right place.
They see a giant octopus. It's not out of the ordinary, so they have to come over. So they're not worried. The businessman's not worried anymore. He's like, Green Arrow's going to come, and we're going to get our jewels back. Okay, so... Green Arrow is flying after the mechanical octopus, and the mechanical octopus shoots a black smoke, almost convenient to like an above water ink.
Yes, like the squids do with ink.
Yes. They drive through the smoke, they can't see because it's so thick, and the octopus has already gotten away. But they got the jewels back with the rope arrow. Is that on our list?
No.
No, it is not. You did not put that on there.
Yowzer.
Okay. So they get the air, the jewels back, you know, they probably give it back to the businessmen, and they go back to their house, I guess. It looks very high up, so maybe they have, like, a penthouse. And Speedy looks out the window, and he sees the Green Arrow signal. It's a flaming Green Arrow in the sky. They get in their Arrow car, and they're driving down the road, and they see the octopus on the train, and, you know, hey, Speedy, let's go by the train tracks. Maybe there's the octopus on top.
Well, since they got the big arrow, maybe they were told, like, over the radio where...
Where it is, yes.
Because they got, like, called out, mm-hmm. So
they're driving past the green train and the arrow car, and they're going in opposite directions. So Green Arrow and Speedy think fast and eject themselves from the seat. And sometime during their ejection, Green Arrow says, maybe the suction cups aren't really suction cups on this octopus. Maybe it's electromagnets. So they take their short circuit arrow. Did you get that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They take their short circuit arrow and they shoot it on the tentacles. Sure enough, they short circuit them. It's not able to stick to the train anymore because, you know, if you take away the electro from magnets, it doesn't become a magnet anymore. For those of you who haven't been informed on science in a while. They get wrapped up in the tentacles because, you know, they're villains and they're going to do bad stuff to them. They somehow get out of the grip.
Because they use the acetylene arrow to cut through the metal tentacles. Yeah, acetylene
is a torch.
Where does
it say that? Oh, yeah, okay, he says that right there, acetylene.
Yeah, so that's probably what they did, is they used that acetylene to cut the metal to... Although
I wasn't sure how they got away on that one.
Well, actually, they didn't get away, did they?
Well, no, they jump into the top of the mechanical octopus.
Did they jump in, or did it put them there? I think it threw them in there to, like, hold them.
As the octopus leaps to the ground, however, and rolls across the countryside, the thing's got us all tied up. I can't get to my arrows. Upon reaching a nearby river, a special compartment, it's flipping us inside.
So
they were being thrown into the mechanical octopus.
Right, they were talking about, you know, how can we get out? Well, we can use our acetylene arrow.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't get to their arrows, and then it threw them in this compartment in its body to, like, hold them.
Yes.
I guess so that it could use all its tentacles and not have to have the one holding
on to somebody. Okay.
Octopied?
Occupied.
Oh, occupied. Okay,
no, but
bad.
That was good. That was good. Witty.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh.
What are you when one of your tentacles is doing something else? Well, you're octopied.
Yeah,
okay. There we go. Okay.
All right. So this octopus jumps into the river that is conveniently bigger underneath than it is on top, kind of like a TARDIS river.
Mm-hmm.
The octopus.
Time and relative dimension in water.
Tardy,
or something like that.
Yeah, Tardy. Okay, so they're going to this underground lair, and the octopus.
The octopus now. Okay, wait, isn't he one of Spider-Man's bad guys?
We're bringing
okay.
Spider-Man into this?
Yeah, okay, all right.
They bring him, the octopus, into the underground lair, and they put Speedy and Green Arrow in a jail cell without their weapons. You know, they're pretty much useless now because they're just some guys. One of the henchmen says, look at the screen. It's a ship that we were going to rob. It's coming up on the radar. So they hop in the octopus, and they're going toward the ship, and the octopus starts harassing the ship because it's got that classic thing that they always want to steal, gold bullion.
Yes. Everybody wants the bullion.
Yes. Bullion? Do you say bull? Bullion?
Bull, like B-U-L-L is the way I pronounce it.
Bullion?
Bullion.
Bullion, okay. And Green Arrow pulls this
acetylene
arrow out of his shirt.
So he hid one.
Yes. He pulls that out of his shirt, and he starts cutting through the bars, and he gets in his arrows back. This is the second color, blue. He's wearing blue
in this
one.
Oh, he's got a blue tunic.
He's wearing blue in this
okay.
one. So they get their arrows back. They get their Aqualung arrow, which is basically just a oxygen mask or a breather, you know, and they put it on their face. Basically, there was no need for an arrow on it. They hop in the river from the underneath the lair. They start swimming toward the octopus. They shoot firecracker arrows. And the Green Arrow uses this really cool line. He said, that's it. Fire the arrows into the tentacle tubes. and watch the fireworks because they were firecracker arrows.
Yeah, the firecracker arrow, like they shot it into like the end of two of the arms and they blew up because
on the
of
inside.
The firecracker arrow. So it like took out those two arms to where they wouldn't work.
Okay, so they blew up the arms, which probably caused internal damage and blew the rest of it up, and the mechanical octopus just kind of floats there lifeless. And Green Arrow looks at the captain, and he says, "Maybe you should keep it and tell your children about the one that didn't get away." That was the end of the story.
Story. Okay, so overall, what'd you think about those two books?
I think it was really cool. Mostly the arrows on this one were more unique than the Umbrella Arrow and the Jiu-Jitsu Arrow. I don't even remember what that one did. But just, you know, the Acetylene Arrow, the Aqualung, I think that was pretty creative, you know, unique. And the storyline, this is actually the first Green Arrow that we've had that has had, like, a big mechanical monster instead of, like, a group of gangers.
Well, they would
gangsters.
Be now. Now they're gangsters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. There's this almost innocent kind of quality about the Gold and Silver Age stories that you don't get now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that they're more simple.
They're not simple. They're more
it's just
G-rated, maybe.
Yeah, just like more innocent.
Yeah.
It's not deep and dark with hidden meanings and all mm-hmm. this other kind of stuff like the books that you'll find nowadays. So it's different to me. And at times it's enjoyable because that's what I want. At times it's not because I want to read comics more like what we read today. So it just
make you think a little bit.
Yeah, I like being able to read these and just shake my head and think, you know, wow, that's what they used to be like,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like, you know, people your age or even little kids, you know, this is what they used to read.
Yeah, this was the thing.
They couldn't wait every month to see the next.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, really? This kept people captive. So, you know, it's to each their own, I guess, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And something new I think that I mentioned, but we'll go ahead and explain a little bit about. Nick mentioned at the top of the show the Aerodex.
Yes, the Aerodex.
And so out of the two old stories, these are the arrows that are going to be added to the arrow decks, or actually they already have been.
Yes.
But from these stories, we had the Boomerang and the Rain Arrows from World's Finest 96. And then we had the Short Circuit, Acetylene, Arrow Aqualung, and Rope Arrow from World's Finest 97. So all mm-hmm. those have made their way onto our arrow decks that we'll keep updated. All right, now the new issue, guys, for those of you that want to know, we're going to be talking about the new Green Arrow, so, you know, if you're worried about spoilers or anything like that. But, again, this came out this past Wednesday. The creative team on it is, the book is written, it's just called Green Arrow, is what this new book is going to be called. The writer is J.T. Kroll, the penciler is Dan Juergens, the inker is George Perez, and the colorist is Dave Barron. So, the story opens with, looks like a board meeting, and they've got one of those cool, like, circular conference call phones.
Yes.
There's people gathered around a table discussing, you know, their business, and somebody is on the speakerphone. And then we see that the person on the speakerphone is the Green Arrow running around the rooftops, kind of like on patrol.
Foot patrol.
While he's engaged in this business meeting with people at... Let's see, at Q-Corp, which is a division of Queen Industries, which is the company that Green Arrow owns.
Yes.
In his civilian identity as Oliver Queen. Now, the thing to also remember, folks, about this new Green Arrow book is supposedly what we're reading is what there is.
There's
no backstory
else.
That they're going to refer to or anything like that. So this Green Arrow character we're reading and learning about starts right here.
This is the beginning. Fresh start.
So the next we have a nice two-page spread of Green Arrow, and he's looking over the street. Got a cool-looking car here with the doors that open up. rather than out.
Like the DeLorean.
Yeah, like a DeLorean, kind of a fancy car. I think maybe like some models of like Lamborghini have that.
Something that only a rich man can afford.
The title of this particular issue, this story, is Living a Life of Privilege. So then we cut, and Oliver has an earpiece. That's how he's communicating. And not only is he communicating on the business call, but he also is communicating to another girl here that is Naomi, and she's feeding him intel on his superhero rounds that he's on. Apparently, he's like either following or tracking down some villains, and she's relaying information on Dynamix, Doppelganger, and Supercharge. Those are the three villains that he is watching now for whatever reason he's watching them.
Which their names will make more sense as you hear what they can do.
Yeah, yeah. Those names refer actually directly to their power.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Green Arrow does.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, I thought he was like fast, right?
Right, yes, yes. And the Flash just likes to take his clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure.
That was actually pretty good.
Oh,
he flashes.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
Anytime.
That.
Anytime.
And so Green Arrow has kind of a cool mask. I don't know that I've seen this before, but he flips his little mask, which just covers his eyes. And he's got a
thermal
filter in there. So he switches to thermal so that he can keep up with some, if not all, of the bad guys, because they have a higher thermal signature than the rest of the regular people, and they're all getting ready to go into a disco or a dance
club
in Paris.
Yes.
So it's going to be easier for him to track. Now, we see that these three bad guys are like talking together about doing something, and Naomi has some kind of wire feed on them. She's listening into them. Tells Green Arrow to hurry up because they're getting ready to do something in the dance club.
Yes.
Then we find out, well, not only is it a dance club, but it's a dance club on a yacht.
Very impressive. Rich.
So he breaks through the roof.
Skylight.
Skylight. Thank you. Second time we've seen a skylight tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
Into it and the to stop these three bad guys before they start to do anything. And the first one starts to attack, and I'm going to assume that this is Supercharge, because he starts to like fire up some kind of electrical discharge at Ollie, and at Green Arrow. Green Arrow has a really cool bow.
Yes, it starts off about 18 inches long.
If that long.
Yeah, maybe shorter.
Maybe only about a foot long, but it's in his... He probably pulls it out of a pocket or off his hip, and that's all it is in his hand. But then it extends to probably 4 or 5 feet long.
Yeah, a nice size bow.
With a
twisting or a button, a mechanism, something, you know, it extends.
A compound bow, so suddenly he has his bow in his hand, and he fires an arrow at the big guy, who is Dynamix.
Yes, Dynamix is the big guy.
Is the big guy, the big muscle guy, knocking him out.
Which I don't understand what his name has to do with what he can do yet.
Dynamix, strong dynamite.
That's
the only thing I can figure. He then has this disc that he takes out.
I don't even know what it is. It just kind of looks like the things you shoot
fun. He has this big disc that he throws at somebody, but he throws it out, and then 2 or 3 pages later, you see him actually throwing it. So I'm not sure what happens to it in between. But he throws this disc to take out Doppelganger, and I'll tell you here in a minute what it does. Meanwhile,
not
Supercharge.
Like how you said it.
Huh?
I like how you said it.
Oh. Excuse me. Supercharge is Green Arrow avoided his first bolt that he shot, took the other two out supposedly, and now he's coming back to Supercharge, who is firing again at him. He fires what looks to be like some kind of flare arrow that blows up in his face and blinds him and disorients him. Green Arrow has told all the regular people to get off the ship, so there's people running around and doing stuff.
Because they're all stupidly just staring and watching
at the superheroes fight. Yeah.
Green Arrow's just screaming out, maybe you want to get off the ship now.
So next, he takes a remote control arrow and shoots it at the guidance system in the ship and embeds the arrow. And that allows his chick, Naomi, to take control of the boat remotely and start
controlling
cruising,
it.
I guess, to get the fight away from anything else.
The shore buildings or something.
Yeah. Okay, so now coming back to the disc that Green Arrow threw, it's not an arrow or anything. It's just a disc.
It's just a disc.
It's probably, it might be about 12 inches in radius. He throws it at Doppelganger, and she catches it and kind of laughs it off like, you know, haha, what is that?
This is such an old trick.
It
didn't do anything to me.
And then suddenly it blows up into this
rope
wire wrap
yes.
that wraps her up and ties her up. So one of them is down. So now Dynamix has recovered from the...
You didn't tell them Doppelganger's job or power?
Oh, yeah. Doppelganger is kind of... looks like she's something's happened, like an accident or something. She's got two heads that are kind of fused together in the middle and four arms. And she's dressed kind of barely like a monsterish kind mm-hmm. of thing. She's got two legs.
But didn't she control that, though? Didn't she come in here, looking like a normal person?
Yeah, and then she popped out.
Yeah.
So I guess she can control it and go back and forth. I don't know. Maybe she can even pop out more.
That,
I don't know.
Yeah.
She just thought she just needed forearms and two heads. But it didn't do her legs.
No.
So.
I guess it only works above the waist.
Yeah, so when she... Well, don't we all? At first she was a pretty attractive woman in a slinky little dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she changed, the dress became all yucky and tattered, kind of like the Hulk's purple shorts every
Ripped
time
up.
He changes.
Yes.
And so she monstered out. She kind of hulked out, I guess, kind of.
Except without the muscles.
Yeah, yeah. So the Green Arrow now is fighting Dynamix and basically takes him out with his bow, using it kind of like a staff or...
Hits her with it.
Yeah, something like that. And then he gets into a hand-to-hand with Dynamix and ends up just kicking him off the yacht.
Which is very impressive, considering that, you know, Green Arrow has some muscles. Like, he's good fit, you know. He's in shape. He's got muscles, a six-pack. And then you got Dynamix, who is basically like a tan Hulk.
Well, he's,
maybe not as big, but basically the same
yeah,
build.
Yeah, he's probably twice Green Arrow size.
Yeah, at
probably.
Least.
Well, and he says he's got the strength of 10 people.
And I see that, too.
Or stronger than 10 of you, so you can figure that Green Arrow is stronger than a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably, twice as strong.
As a normal person.
So
and then
Dynamix has, 20.
Regular people.
20 people, yeah. So after he kicks him off the boat, what I like is he takes an arrow and fires it into the water right in front of Dynamix, and it freezes all of the water around him and the water he's in.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, he's, in an iceberg, mm-hmm. a little iceberg.
Just big enough for one.
So now we go back to Supercharge.
Supercharge.
All this time, Green Arrow is talking to these people, which is what superheroes always do.
He's politely bashing them.
Yeah,
he's
putting them down. They're not real. They're not legit.
You're not a supervillain. You're not even a villain. You're just a punk.
Yeah, you're just in it for the charge you get from being mean to people. You just want to put your videos up on YouTube and get all kinds of hits. And mm-hmm. You know, you're not real or serious about it. And Supercharge, like some kind of street dude or something, gets all pissed at having his rep talk trash about all this.
You can't call me a punk.
And Supercharge's powers are centered in his hands. That's how he generates the power. So to take him out, Green Arrow just fires a couple regular arrows.
And it sticks in his...
And it pierces his hands. So he gets kind of nasty with this mm-hmm. guy. And then because his powers won't work or because he stopped charging up because of the pain or something, Green Arrow just runs up to him and knocks him out with a punch.
Does he really have powers or are those the gloves he's wearing? Because I noticed he was wearing gloves too. Maybe it has something to do with it.
It could be the gloves, but I would say that it's probably more him because Dynamix and Doppelganger were their powers also.
Yeah, it wasn't. Okay.
So... Plus two somewhere, doesn't it say something about them taking something to get their powers?
A drug.
Yeah.
They've been drugged.
So it's probably in them, and he just wears it to be some kind of fly do.
Well, whenever I see something like that, when someone has powers like that, I think maybe it was designed to channel it better.
So now, something like that could be, yeah, to focus it.
Yeah, to focus it, yeah.
Otherwise, he would just maybe let it out like sun rays
or
something.
Yes, instead of like lightning bolts.
Yeah. So that fight's over there in Paris. We see Green Arrow back home in Seattle at the headquarters of Q-Corp, which is the subsidiary of Queen Industries.
All of his company.
And now he's talking to Adrian, who probably is his personal assistant for his business, talking about how he dissed the guy that's in head of Q-Corp, which is who he was on the business call with.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe for you know, you need to play this straighter. You need to be a little bit more receptive to this guy, you know, because he's president of one of your subsidiaries and stuff. And basically Green Arrow says, well, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he's
I don't care.
I own it. So it's, you know, whatever. I know what he's like. So then we cut to him talking to Jax. Jax is his weaponeer. Jax personally comes up with the weapons, with the arrows and whatnot, that Ollie uses. So now Ollie is talking about the stuff that he has run into as Green Arrow. And it's him and Jax and Naomi going back over what they've been able to learn about these three guys that he took out in Paris. We find out a little bit about this Green Arrow, who has green eyes, by the way.
Yes, I saw that. He has green eyes and nope, never mind.
Okay.
I totally forgot.
Okay. And we find out Green Arrow says a little something here. The reason why he's pushing so hard as a superhero, putting himself in danger, even though he is the brain and the money head of this big multinational corporation, is because something has happened and his involvement, whether direct or lack of involvement, caused a whole lot of people to get hurt. So we don't know if he made a mistake or he didn't act like kind of a Spider-Man kind of thing.
Yeah,
I'm
hoping they're going to have like a back shadow issue to tell you what they're
talking
about.
I'm sure more of
this
will come out. Yeah. So there's a little bit of insight into this version of Oliver Queen, why he's so driven to be Green Arrow.
Yes.
And he's pretty driven. I mean, you think about it, a guy running out with a bunch of arrows
against
somebody that can shoot energy from
or a guy that can crush your head because he has the strength of 20 men, you know.
You know, you got to be kind of driven to go out there. All right, we cut back to a...
He should be a Green Lantern.
We also find out that Paris has a meta-military.
Yes.
And that is who took charge of the bad guy, Supercharged Dynamix and Doppelganger. And even they are investigating Doppelganger because she has that freaky thing where she can, like, double up her body in there.
It seems like a pointless power.
Trying to figure out how to neutralize everybody's powers.
Yeah.
So... the prison in Paris where Supercharge and Dynamix are, they're talking, you know, man, they found us and all this stuff. And while they're talking, they get broken out of jail by some dude named Rush.
Oh, I didn't even see that they had called him something. I guess he's the guy in the front.
Yes, and with Rush is 2, 4, 6, 7 other people.
Which apparently these are all new villains.
Yes, all dressed in different get-ups. Only one of them really has a uniform, or what I would call a superhero uniform. The rest of them just look to be dressed in, you know, different kind of,
they
like,
have
cool clothes and stuff.
A girl with blue hair. She's pale, but she's wearing some black latex.
She's kind of albino. You got a furry kind of animalistic
kind
of guy.
Maybe.
You got some
that
tough girl.
That resembles Wonder
here.
Woman, if you ask me.
Kind of. She's probably some kind of fighter. She looks kind of buff. You got this little guy down here that's kind of slinking, and he's dressed with the wraps that like ninjas or samurai put on their hands. So he's probably some kind of martial artist. You've got the short little ape-looking dude all dressed in kind of armor, so he's probably some kind of strength fighter, too.
I'm most concerned about the twins' powers because they just look like some two chicks.
Yeah, they can probably do something related to the fact that they're twins.
Yeah.
They have to,
like
touch or something.
Teen Titans, there were...
the cartoon?
Yeah, the cartoon that was on Cartoon Network. There was a positive kid and a negative kid, and they could only go fast when they're touching. So they were like two kid flashes, and they needed each other before they could go fast.
So all you had to do is break them up and not let them touch.
Yeah, and they would just be like normal people.
Yeah, it could be something like
related.
That. We don't know. And it says, superhero deaths will be televised, is their little blurb for next issue. So overall, this issue is really high energy, 21st century written with YouTube
modern
and likes and all that kind of stuff. So you can really tell that what they're trying to do is really put Green Arrow into the here and now.
Yes, they want to bring him into the 21st century.
Not rely on 40 years worth of history and all mm-hmm. the villains that he has and all the back. You know, you can really see to me that they're trying to do this fresh. I just hope that where they go with the freshness stays interesting.
Yes.
I think you really got to be careful, because what could happen is if you try too hard to be now, you could wind up being kind of cliche.
Yeah, too futuristic maybe, or too, you're trying to incorporate too many new trends or something.
Yeah, you don't, you know, it's going to get boring if it's a whole bunch of what they call hipsters as the villains, and the, you know, it's like, just,
you're going to have like evil rappers come at you.
Yeah,
or something.
As funny as it sounds, being a comic book, they need to try to keep it real. Mm-hmm. And not get all, like Nick said, kind of trendy with it.
It's going to become a pop culture icon.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, I don't want it to be like a WB show or something, yeah. You know, something mm-hmm. like that. So,
Green Arrow versus Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Okay. Although I would love to see that issue.
No. Green Arrow and Justin Bieber.
Heck yeah, man. Justin Bieber in his place.
That would be cool.
Justin Bieber can sing him to death.
He might. So okay. So there we go with our topics for this episode.
And we will be doing the new issues every other episode.
Yeah, since they only come out once a month. Mm-hmm. So
we're gonna keep up with those for you guys. We're spoiling that. We don't want to surprise it with you.
Right. Exactly. Next episode, the three books we've got lined up are Adventure Comics 252, which the last episode we said we would talk about in this episode,
but
we bumped it for the new Green Arrow. So we got Adventure Comics 252 and 253, and then World's Finest 98. Now, the interesting thing about 252 and 253 is those two stories will be the first two-part Green Arrow that we've had.
Don't we have 254 before 98, World's Finest? Or did you just want to do two of one?
We'll just do 52 and 53. We just
52 and 53.
And then
okay, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So, okay, so that's what we got up, got in store next episode. On the way out, anything else you want to say or add, Nick?
The arrows you said you were going to read at the end.
I already went through those.
Oh, did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where was I?
You were talking about them with me.
No way. Did you really go over them?
Way. Boomerang, rain, short circuit, acetylene.
I guess we were going through, like, when we heard them in the story. I thought you said we were going to go through them at the end.
I did. I listed them.
Did you really?
Before I talked about this.
Are you serious?
Okay, next episode there will be a new co-host. Nick just can't keep up anymore. So moving right along. If you guys do want to drop us any feedback, you can get in touch with us at earth1emeraldarcher@gmail.com. Of course, with Gmail, that's all one word, and the one is the number one.
Not the word.
Not the word. Or I guess you could say the Arabic one, since they're Arabic numerals.
Yes.
Comicbooknoise.com/emeraldarcher, one word. That's the website where we put up. When I post the show, I also post the covers of the books we talk about. Mm-hmm. So if you're not sure, you know, what book it is and you want to be able to tell it, you know, from far away, you can look at those covers. And then that way, when you go to your comic shop, like the new issues, you'll be able to spot it right away.
Yeah.
And see what issue we talked about.
We're also on Facebook. We have a like page. The name is The Emerald Archer, three different words. Mm-hmm. Give us a like. Once you've liked our page, you can check out Teal Productions. That's our podcast and everything. So
yeah, we have multiple podcasts, and all of those are under the Teal Productions umbrella.
So yeah.
Also, those of you guys that download us from iTunes, if you want to take a sec and leave us an iTunes review,
that'd be cool.
Helps other people find the podcast if they just do a search for it. Mm-hmm. Now, with the name, they can just search directly for the name and find it. That's easy.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully there's some of you guys out there that are listening that think that this is cool enough to pass on. And this will be an easy way for you to tell those people to find the show is with the iTunes reviews. As always, we want to thank Mr. Derek Coward. He's kind of the daddy of the Deliberate Noise family of shows, of which the Comic Book Noise group is under it. Mm-hmm. And then we are under the Comic Book Noise group of shows. The Emerald Archer and all the Comic Book Noise shows have separate feeds that you can use on your RSS downloader. And then the Deliberate Noise Network has a feed that Derek puts everything on. And
yes.
For those of you that don't know Derek Coward, he himself probably puts out about 10 different shows. And under the Deliberate Noise banner, there's probably, I don't know, 30 other shows. So it's a big family. Just about everything you can imagine is under there. Books and movies.
We finally got a banner on the Deliberate Noise website.
Cool. Dance reality show. There's several comic book shows. There's a wrestling show. There's a television podcast, a sci-fi television podcast. So there's all kinds of things under there. And if you look under the Deliberate Noise banner and you don't see a particular kind of show reflecting your interest, sit down and do a podcast. Contact Derek and he'll help you out.
He'll hook you up.
He is really a big proponent of podcasts and he's really helpful and supportive. He's our behind the scenes technical kind of guy. He
yes.
helps with the putting up of the podcast and everything like that. He did some work for us on the website itself and he's really cool. We love you, Derek, and we really appreciate the help and everything you do, man.
Heck yeah.
All right, guys, that's all for us this episode. Keep listening. Pass the word. Hopefully here in a couple weeks we'll put together another episode with those books that we mentioned. So I guess that's all for now. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye, guys.
This is a Teal Production.